Thank you so much, Aaron. This presentation was actually put together by my colleague, Christy Luce, who unfortunately had to leave the conference yesterday. So I am her stand-in. My name is Janet Hamilton. I work very tightly with Christy Luce, who is the manager of our surveillance system section within the acute disease epidemiology section in the Bureau of Epidemiology, Florida Department of Health. And I work really on the surveillance section. So certainly surveillance data collection is all part of surveillance systems. And so we do work very closely together. I'm sure that I will give the presentation a little bit differently than Christy would if she were here, and I will certainly try to do it justice. The title of this presentation is EpiGateway, a One-Stop Surveillance Shop. And if you looked in your program manual, for today's session, it mentioned that EpiGateway serves as a web portal for notifiable diseases. And I would really say that EpiGateway and the concept that I'm going to be talking about here is really more than that. Really what it is a portal for data collection and reporting systems that we have within the state of Florida. And the web portal for notifiable diseases is one component of that system. This is looking a little bit at the evolution of our EpiGateway concept. Essentially, where we were in Florida is we started out with this system called EpiCom. And EpiCom is the department's outbreak and communications emergency notification system. The real key thing about EpiCom for moving us forward in this evolution was that EpiCom was our external facing application. So it had users from outside of the Department of Health's firewall. And for those of you who work in states like mine, getting data across that firewall can sometimes be a pretty big challenge. So that was the web board for alerting, and then over time we started adding some sub-applications onto that, and we'll look at that a little bit more carefully on the next slide. And those sub-applications got added on really because this was our external interface. Then in 2007, the Health Alert Notification System, the EpiCom piece, actually moved to become part of the Departments of Health emergency notification system called FDENS, and essentially FDENS had fancier and better alerting capabilities than what we had within EpiCom. So it could call you, it could fax you, it could call multiple numbers, you could set up alerting profiles, so it made sense to move the outbreak and alerting function into that system that could actually alert people in multiple ways. Then the sub-applications were left behind, and so we came up with this EpiGateway concept. So essentially, this is what we had, which was EpiCom, which was our external-facing site that was the Health Alert Network. And because it was our external-facing site, we started adding these other components on because we could have users from outside the department enter in data. And so we added on the County Health Department Influenza Activity Code reporting, the pneumonia and influenza mortality reporting, electronic case reporting, which is related to our notifiable disease surveillance system, getting reports from outside providers, and our respiratory laboratory test reporting. And what ended up happening then, of course, was that EpiCom moved, and we still had these other sub-applications left. So the EpiGateway structure really came from EpiCom leaving and how we wanted to kind of reorganize ourselves. As this slide is coming up, you've heard the other presentations in this session talk about our siloed mentality. And you can see from this slide that our systems, our surveillance systems, are organized very structurally by our funding sources. So within the Bureau of Epidemiology, we have the Merlin system, which is the system that I spend the most time working on, which encompasses all of our reportable diseases outside of those that are programmatically funded, the STDs, HIV/AIDS, TB, and then, of course, the Bureau of Immunization maintains our SHOTS registry. So the other thing that we wanted to do in looking at EpiGateway was how we could do a better job for the users of accessing these various systems. So really, the frontline County Health Department epidemiology staffs that we have in Florida that manage our individual cases and do reporting up to the state level oftentimes span multiple program areas. Florida is a large state. We have over 18 million people, and we have county health departments like Miami-Dade County Health Department that has a staff larger than the state health office. And then we have some rural counties that have one epidemiologist, and that epidemiologist functions in some cases only part-time because of the rural nature of that county. So certainly in the smaller and medium-sized counties, those epidemiologists are working on STD-related activities, HIV-AIDS-related activities. Some of them are nurses that are working in delivering shots. And so we wanted to try to minimize their impact from having to continually switch applications, including using and remembering different usernames and passwords for each system. So the purpose and goals then of Epi Gateway were to bring together all the department surveillance systems so that the county health departments wearing multiple hats would have minimal impact in their day-to-day lives in accessing those systems. The transition between systems is more seamless with this concept, so we will be using single sign-on capabilities when accessing the various systems. And then the additional goal of Epi Gateway was to expand the electronic reporting capabilities to external partners, such as practitioners. And finally, when we look at the sub-applications, for example, County Health Department flu activity reporting, the pneumonia and influenza system that I'm going to be talking about, is that people who were actually submitting the data were then able to be linked with reports from the data. That is, that the users can generate reports and graphs as soon as they submit the data. And that's one thing that is really nice about Epi Gateway, and we've really been trying to focus on that activity, that we aren't just collecting the data at the state office, that that information is readily accessible to the county health department and other users of these systems. And if we can automate that process, it certainly speeds up our data flow and dissemination, rather than my staff in the surveillance section gathering the data, producing a report, and then trying to send it back out to providers, that they can run reports when it is that they want to run and see the information. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about those individual sub-applications that we had started tacking on to the EpiCom platform. And the first one is County Influenza Activity Code Reporting. What this is, it's mirrored off of the CDC's system, where a state will log in and report sort of an overall influenza activity code for the week. And we have pushed that same thought process down onto county health departments, and we've developed an algorithm for counties to look at the surveillance systems that they have in place for influenza and sort of to develop an overall influenza activity code. And we have mirrored the state codes minus one code, which we don't support anymore, which is a regional county activity code, which is valid for a state reporting code. And those users are really county health department epidemiologists that report that code. And this is what it essentially looks like. You choose the week that you're interested in, and you choose what activity you have, and you then submit the count. And as soon as you submit your count, then you can run your flu report and you can see what activity level you have reported, and you can choose various week ending dates so that you can look at that individually for your own county. The next sub-application then is the Pneumonia and Influenza Mortality Reporting System. This is accessed primarily by vital statistics staff, and they scan death certificates and enter in the number of people by age whose death was attributable to pneumonia and or influenza. Those graphs are then viewable by those staff that enter the information, as well as the county health department staff that are very interested in that data, and the Bureau of Epidemiology staff. This is essentially what that looks like when vital statistics officers enter in the information. They can hit the submit count button down here at the bottom, and then they can immediately run a mortality report so that they can see all the information that they have entered for various time intervals. This is basically what that individual report looks like from a table perspective. and the count data. You can choose different week endings, or you can choose a multiple range of your weeks. And then there's also, coupled with that, some analyses of the data so that you can actually look at some graphs for your individual county or for the state level that essentially looks at what data you have reported and whether or not it is exceeding certain threshold levels. The next sub-application is our respiratory laboratory test result reporting system. This is modeled after the CDC's NREVSS system, the National Respiratory Enteric Virus Surveillance System. And in Florida, we really started having a need for this, for looking at this data, because we were interested in looking at RSV data. And in Florida, we have a unique RSV season. In many other states, RSV season follows a more traditional path of only being primarily active in fall and winter months. And in Florida, we see RSV activity pretty much year-round that exceeds sort of the given 10% threshold level. And because of that, it does impact healthcare providers in being able to offer prophylaxis to infants that actually need to receive the appropriate prophylaxis. So hospitals then enter in the number of tests performed each week and the number of positive results, and those reports then are immediately viewable by hospital staff, the county health department, epidemiology staff, and additionally, we have been able to partner with Children's Medical Services so that we can do a better job of having the surveillance data reviewed by our medical partners and be able to cover the offering of that prophylactic treatment. So these are internal and external providers. This is just a little bit about what that data entry interface looks like, and I actually don't have a screen capture of what the report back that the providers can look at. The next sub-application is electronic case reporting. This is really used only by infection control practitioners at this point, and it was really designed for infection control practitioners. The information is confidential. It's essentially case reports for notifiable diseases and conditions, and the hospitals then access the system and enter in their individual case information, and then that information is picked up by our notifiable disease system. What we have found is that this kind of, I'll say it's hand data entry at the hospital level, is interesting to hospitals that are small and medium-sized providers, because when we designed this, we gave them some pieces which they thought was pretty information, which was the activity log, so that they could keep up with what kinds of activity they had reported on their individual cases. And in general, which is not actually shown on this screen, they can also run a report for themselves that shows all of the cases that they submitted to the health department and when they submitted them. And that has been important for those infection control practitioners for their JCO administrative reporting features, that they have to keep up with every instance that they have notified public health of a notifiable disease event and where that record went. Because it does require manual data entry, our larger hospitals have really said, we're not interested in this. We want to wait until you can get our records electronically, because this isn't going to save us time. It's easier for me to fax you information right now, and I already have an internal electronic system for keeping track of the records that I release and who I release them to. For our small hospitals and our medium-sized hospitals, we found a lot of them are still functioning on paper. And so this is sort of meeting an intermediate need, but I wouldn't say it's really where we want to end up. So this looks then a little bit at the EpiGateway architecture. So I've talked a little bit then about these ad hoc surveillance sub-applications, which we have integrated those. And then what we're working towards is the program area surveillance systems and some other surveillance systems, which I'm going to talk about, of having a single interface then where once you log into EpiGateway, you don't have to continue to re-logging into other systems in order to navigate for your daily workflow. That integration and interface has become transparent by using single sign-on to give a similar look and feel. And then, as I've mentioned, the user experience is minimally impact when switching from one application to another. It was written primarily in the .NET environment. It utilizes a SQL database. The database is located separate from the web server and sits behind the DOH firewall. The entire application is scanned before we move into our change control process. And each time we go through that scan process, we use a template that we run the scan against over and over again to mitigate any kind of vulnerabilities or to accept the risk of the vulnerabilities that we do have. So in the future, we want to continue to break down the silos that we have within the Florida Department of Health and make it easier for our users, both internal and external, to access the different surveillance systems. We're looking at working with our environmental health systems to make them accessible via this site. We also have syndromic surveillance operational within the state of Florida, and we want to make users come through this location when logging into that system. And certainly any type of data warehousing activities that we will be moving forward with, and analysis and visualization. The other thing that we would like to do is, just like we have built this sort of middle of the road step for case reporting of infection control practitioners, we would like to have this site be the location where small to medium-sized labs that will never be able to send us HL7 and other types of electronic data could log in and essentially hand key in their lab results, and we would be able to receive them at the department. So our next steps then are to evaluate the effectiveness and plan and execute our expansion. And I'd be happy to try and take any questions. This is Christy Luce's contact information. If there are questions that I can't answer, I'll be glad to take that back to her. You are quiet. Yes, go ahead.
I work on the NEDS project at the North Carolina Division of Public Health, and our next
our first group of non-public health users, we would like to be the infection control practitioners in hospitals, and I was just wondering if you could give some feedback as to how they're, you know, how enthusiastic they've been with entering online versus doing the cards, and, you know, if they've been happy with the reports they've been able to get out of the system and so forth.
Sure, absolutely. So the question was just our relationship and how that process has worked with the infection control practitioners. When we started this process, we actually sent some of our technical business analysts out to meet with a couple infection control practitioners that we had identified via previous experience of working with those ICPs within the department. I'm sure in every state you have those standout ICPs that you really look forward to working with, and they give you lots of really great feedback and good ideas. So we sent people to work with those infection control practitioners to come up with essentially what they wanted from the system. And we did choose some small, medium, and large size or ICPs that represented small, medium, and large size hospitals. And as I mentioned, we really didn't really weren't able to meet the need of the large size hospitals with this system. And then from there, we actually piloted it in a couple of counties. And so the way that reporting works within Florida is that the ICPs work very closely with the local level county health department epidemiologists. So what we needed to find in pilot counties was a matchup between a county health department epidemiologist that was interested in working on getting case reports electronically from their hospitals and an ICP that was interested in doing it. And then we have sent the people working on that particular module to the counties to talk about it with the county epidemiologist and the infection control practitioners, and essentially talk about what the system is like, what the benefits are. So that's been the training piece that we've had to incorporate. The ICPs were really useful in giving us lots of good ideas for the initial system. I will say that now that it's built, it's essentially turned into maintaining another sub-application, because now the ICPs that are using it really like it, and they want it to do, oh, I'd really love it if it could do this, and I'd really love it if it could do this, and I'd like the report that is available to be able to sort it by these features. And I think to some degree that was maybe our own maybe naiveness when we started looking at the system, that ICPs aren't necessarily used to building systems and thinking about how they want those systems to look like. So once they saw something, it was much easier for them to react to it. And I think we could have done a better job of giving ICPs something to react with before we sort of released the final item. And so now we have a little bit of a backlog of making changes for ICPs, and where does that fit in our overall strategies with our other surveillance activities that are going on. But it has been really useful, and the ICPs and the counties that are using it really do like it. But it's definitely, you know, it's another item that's added into our maintenance workload now. And the big selling point for ICPs was that they could run reports for themselves. And that's where the big hospitals just have not been particularly interested, because their systems are already set up to run those reports.
Can you identify any like specific challenges or reasons why you haven't been able to meet the needs of the larger, well, let me say it a different way, that you haven't been able to leverage their existing information systems for your surveillance program?
I think that's a wonderful question. That's where we would like to go. We're working really hard. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Is it not knowing how to start the conversation? Is it a question about what the financial responsibilities of the various participants are going to be? Is it just a lack of money? What is it that?
Maybe a follow-up question.
This is
actually Richard Hopkins, who is my supervisor, so I'm going to let him respond to that question since he's clearly raising his hand.
Actually, it was really interesting to hear your talk and also the one from South Carolina.
Yeah.
You got a lot of good ideas from that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot more further that we can learn from each other. As I think about the future of this, we currently have 70 Florida hospitals that are sending us daily data as part of our essence syndrome surveillance data collection. We're headed towards 100 very soon. There are 210 acute care hospitals in Florida, 220. And my thinking about this has been that when we establish more sophisticated data collection from healthcare facility, that we'll probably use the infrastructure we built for Essence to do that. And that's the way we're going to go. So it's a whole different pathway.
Right. And
I would just expand on that. The other thing that we're working very hard on in Florida right now is electronic laboratory reporting. Mm-hmm. And we wrote into our administrative code that labs need to report to us electronically, and now we're dealing with the challenge of how do we support that on the Department of Health side. So I think that we're interested in leveraging either the method that we're collecting data from our syndromic surveillance systems, or how we're getting our electronic lab data from those hospitals, and that's a really different focus for us. I'll just add one other comment that I think one of the experiences in Kentucky, which is I'd really like to, or maybe it was actually the South Carolina presentation, I'm sorry, that people really wanted to be able to report STD information at the same time. And as soon as we launched Epi Gateway and the electronic case reporting for hospitals, we were doing it for our Merlin notifiable disease surveillance system, and the very first question came back, which was, I really want to report my STDs through this, can we do it? So then that required meeting with the program folks in STDs to try and move that forward. And for some hospitals, that was a limiting factor because they didn't want to do things in two different ways.
And if I could point out, even if you tell them, no, you can't, they will.
That's right.
They will stick it in there anyway.
So for ours, we actually restricted that because they have to choose a disease from a specific drop-down. So, but we did lose a couple of people that were initially very enthusiastic because they really wanted to do that at the same time.
The lesson there is don't put other on that drop deck.
It's not on there, but yes.
Can you describe what type of information they are providing? Because I'm a little unclear, are they providing lab data or is it a clinical diagnosis that they're providing to you? And
sure, that's a great question. When this was initially built, it was to satisfy the reporting requirement in our state regulations, which is for the provider, which is essentially we need sort of the basic name, demographic pieces of information. We need the diagnosis that you've had. And if there's a lab result available, we would like it, but that's not the way that our regulations actually read. The providers are responsible for one set, and then the labs are responsible for the laboratory pieces. Now, of course, we all know that there's a lot of overlap there. So that was, when the system was initially designed, it was set up to capture those provider pieces, which did not include the lab. And that was another thing that the ICP said we would like to be able to do. So for that, we have added the capability to attach lab results. The problem with that is, of course, it doesn't save the county health department epidemiologist's time. So that's another thing we'd like to add in. And also to attach other pertinent pieces of information, history and physicals, other data that the health department requests. So there's a set of key pieces of information that are hand keyed, which essentially are those basic pieces of information that go directly into our notifiable disease surveillance system, and then they have the capacity to attach really any other kind of record they would like to attach.
I think we have time for one more question before lunch.
Do you, I'm thinking about deduplication of records here. If you get something from one of your reporting hospitals, and then you get a similar report from the treating physician, which I would assume is then manually entered by your local health department. If that one is in there first before the electronic one gets there, what do you do about deduplicating those? Does somebody have to do that manually, or?
That's a great question. So essentially at the level of entering the data into the electronic case reporting, those logins are set up by facility. So the facility can only see whatever it is that they have done work on. So if a patient has presented to that individual facility before, they will find that. But if I go to the hospital and now I go to my private practitioner, when my private practitioner reports, those are separate and they meet at the level of the communicable disease surveillance system. So what happens then is when the county health department epidemiologist goes to enter in the case information that they have now received from the physician, the system forces you to do some searches. So first you have to search on name and it looks for individual matches. And so that's the first level of deduplication that occurs. And that really helps a lot. And then we run some regular checks on our system to match profile information and some other things at the state office level every couple of weeks to look for duplicate records. And then when we find those, we actually notify the county health department and say, it looks like you guys have two cases or two similar cases. Which one is the right one? Can you delete the wrong one? And so there's some back-end work. But we've tried to do as much when the county actually logs into the system that it will find a record that's already there.
Well, I think we should all give a big thank you to all the people.